You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
And I'm Jared Galant.
Jared, what are we talking about today? What is this? What is this topic?
Well, I think we came up with it, Family Guy, they had that joke a while ago of what really grinds my gears. This is what really creases our pages.
There we go.
And that is basically the current buying and selling of the comic book industry and how it is right now and how personally, and I think we'll be in somewhat of agreement on this, how frustrating it is right now and silly.
Jared, can you hang on a minute? I have a claim sale I have to do. So
Hang on a second. Somebody just made an announcement. Hot book. Hang on. I got to change my eBay price. $2 to $100.
Yep. Yeah, that's one of the big ones. You'll always see that on eBay. The moment there's an announcement, all the cheap books, like, for example, let's pick one. Peacemaker number one from DC Comics. It's not even his first appearance, right?
It's their first miniseries of him. Yeah.
Right. So it's DC's, I guess, first appearance, or they're just their first mini. I'm not 100% sure. But either way, it's not the true first appearance of Peacemaker?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the true first appearance. So it's strange to me that, you know, this book was in the 50-cent quarter bin for the longest time. I would roll past that and go, yeah, right, guy's helmet looks dumb. And then I just wouldn't get the book. And now,
right,
the number one issue of that is what? It goes for at least, what, $50, $75,
$100,
something like that?
See, here's the thing. Now, if you listen to our podcast, we do a lot of prospecting pods where we say, hey, how about this book, this character, is probably going to heat up, and we give you a good, valid reason. And a lot of people in the comic book industry have been doing that, or have took off of that, have taken the reins of that and gone with it. And it's fun. I've always enjoyed prospecting for books because it's cool to find that diamond in the rough. The real cool thing is the if you're right factor of like, I'll give you an example that hasn't even hit yet. Actually, it did. One of them has. So after Black Panther came out and it was such a success, I remember going, shit, people are crazy about Wakanda. I'm going to start getting as many first appearances of Wakandan characters as I can, like the more obscure ones. For instance, people started saying like, oh, wait, Shuri is technically a Disney princess. She's like Marvel's Disney princess now. And also the fact that she does take up the mantle of Black Panther. And this was way before Chadwick Boseman's passing. So this was like a way big gamble as far as like it could go up. And I remember grabbing that, just going, it's cool to have. I remember even getting a really random character named Gentle, who's a mutant from Wakanda. And his first appearance is still like a dollar or something. It's like one of the new X-Men books or whatever. And I mean, new X-Men as an N.E.W., the New Mutants team or whatever, like from, I don't know, 5 years ago.
Can't follow it. Too much.
Exactly. Yeah. So
X-Men has been unfollowable as far as like the title issue names and numbering.
Yeah.
The
one thing I will say is they have a book called, once they redid this whole House of X, Dawn of X.
That's a long title.
House of X, Powers of X. Once they started doing that, they had a graphic novel that kind of collected the story. And then the very, very smart thing, is they have these books called Dawn of X. And what it does is it collects every issue of like that month of those books. So like it'll have like X-Men 1, New Mutants 1, X-Force 1, and all the current books that came out that month. It all collects them one in one.
Oh, wow.
Because that story, it kind of like old Marvel crosses over a lot. And so it actually is cool to read that way. It's not like weird. And you can still also, if you just like New Mutants, you can just buy the New Mutants trades or whatever. But I've been doing it where I got, you know, Comixology had a sale and I was like, I'm going to get some of these Dawn of X ones so I can kind of see how them, what's going on in the mutant world, and it's actually been really fun.
Speaking of Comixology, real quick, to sidetrack again, I found and actually fell in love with a library app. I believe it's called Overdrive.
Okay.
And I use that to rent trades.
Oh, cool.
So instead of buying them on Comixology, because for me, it's like digital. I don't care if I own it. I just want to read it and then I'm done.
Right.
So for me, I don't care about that aspect of it. So the library doesn't have everything, but they'll get a certain amount of digital books that you can read, graphic novels. And right now I'm reading Invincible. Because I've never read it before, and you highly recommend it. And I was like, okay. So I think I'm on volume 3 at this point right now. And there's like 4 issues in each volume. So it's pretty easy to read. I can read a couple issues in a night, and I'll move on to the next volume and the next volume. And they have, what I can see, they have the entire collection. So I can continue to read it and go through the entire thing, and it doesn't cost me a dime. So for me, for somebody that would rather use their money to invest in books rather than paying the money for the digital, this library app is a lifesaver, and I can't recommend it enough.
What's it called again?
Overdrive.
Overdrive. Okay. I will be checking that out. And now to go back on topic. So like what you said, so, you know, I was saying about the prospecting of books, and I talked about the Wakanda stuff. So prospecting is fun, but lately with the, you know, and I'm going to throw some people under the bus, but I'm also going to commend them on their work at the same time. But with apps like, what is it, Key Collector, and with, was it Comic Tom? Is that the guy?
Yeah, he's one of the, I think Comic Tom does a lot of podcasts and stuff and talks about the hot books that's coming up.
Right. So these two representatives alone are like, it's, I will always be happy for the comic industry to thrive, because that's what I want, because I love comics and I want comic shops to thrive. And strangely, in this pandemic, you made the joke about the claim sales have been what's saved these comic shops, and probably I would imagine will continue even after, once, you know, the vaccines spread and we can go in person again and get back to some normalcy. I completely see these claim sales just continuing, because it's a great stream of revenue for the shops and for private sellers in their own right. The thing that really creases my pages here is that there is a manipulation of the market, and there's no rhyme or reason to there used to be, like, you know, comics are whatever you want to pay for them when it comes down to it. And it's usually kind of like goes by what's the highest, you know, now with graded books, it's like, what did like this grade go for, and what did somebody buy it for? And that pretty much sets the telltale of what that book costs. So if you have an Invincible One and somebody is a 9.8 CGC and somebody buys it for $9.50, then you know what? Now a nine, and that's the highest, you know, you have there. That book is worth $9.50 to $1,000, and somebody will keep pushing it. And I guess that's what kind of creases my pages on the shit, is the pushing it. Like, I want people to get their money's worth, but I don't like it when it crosses the line to where they're exploiting people. And I know you can totally argue everything I'm saying, you can argue with. You can say, well, they don't have to pay for it. They don't have to do it. But it's like, there is a point when I go, well, how many people are manipulating that poor person into paying that exorbitant amount when they actually shouldn't be, to me takes the fun out of the collecting aspect. And like, what the fuck happened with, like, you know, they, Disney just dropped all this new product as far as like what's coming for the future. And of course books went ape shit, and, you know, Disney owns everything. So every Marvel
Star
thing,
Wars that, books are insane now. Insane.
Star Wars books, literally, like we were talking off air, through text, literally overnight. I was looking at, because I was like, I've been watching a lot of Star Wars shit lately. Like, I started finally watching the Clone Wars, and I've obviously been watching, what do you call it?
Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm. So I've definitely been like way, way more in my Star Wars geek shit has been like booming lately. And I was like, oh, I wonder what Darth Maul's first appearance in comics was. And I looked it up and it's like The Phantom Menace number one, I think, is his first cameo. And then Phantom Menace three is like his first full. And these books were like $2.
Right.
Maybe $15, because it was like some people were like, yeah, it's Darth Maul's first comic appearance. I had one in my like cart, like not cart, but you know, like the watch list on eBay.
Yeah.
And overnight it went to like from like $15 to $20 to about $200.
Wow.
And every copy across the board, everybody got this thing CGC, and CGC hasn't even acknowledged that it's the first start. You know, if you see it, it just says Phantom Menace 1, like in their notes. It hasn't been registered yet as the first Darth Maul in comics. Obviously, since Dark Horse had a huge run of Star Wars books, like so many first appearances of like random characters mm-hmm. that have had play are just going through the roof without even any, you know, some of them factual mention of that they're going to be in something.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody is just picking up or trying to pick up every single first appearance in every single Star Wars comic they could do. Mm-hmm. And I will say, to his credit, Julio from We Can Be Heroes comic shop, he told me about this way earlier this year. He told me, he said, Donald, you need to get Star Wars books. I'm telling you, that's where it's at. He's like, what is her name? Ashoka?
Ahsoka.
Ahsoka, yeah, Ahsoka.
Oh,
he's like,
shit, that book.
Whew. Her first appearance, he's like, it's going to go insane. He's like, I'm telling you now, this is the book you need to get. And I, you know, I said, oh, okay. And I didn't do it. You know, I didn't bother with it. I was like, oh, yeah, it's Star Wars stuff. You know, it'll always be there. And sure as shit, he's 100% right. You know, everything Star Wars, particularly that book, is going through the friggin' roof. And you can't. Those, I feel sorry for those that are trying to collect runs of things. Like, let's say you wanted to get, you know, Star Wars, what is it? What's one of the ones? I think Rebellion or something like that that they had, or Legacy. They've had mm-hmm. a ton of issues of these, right? And you're right. Trying to get the entire run. And it just so happens one or two of these issues has the first appearance of one of the characters, and you don't have those issues. Well, instead of paying, you know, maybe $50 to $100 to complete your run, now you have to pay $1,000. You
know, exactly. Yeah, for one book. Yeah.
Right. It's just not fair, because what's going to happen ultimately, and this will segue into something I want to talk about, what will ultimately happen is it will be defined by time and by that character's relevance.
Right.
If that character in the next 5 years doesn't appear in anything, no one's going to give a shit about the book again. It's just going to die back off.
Exactly.
And if something does happen to that character needs to have enough relevance. Like, for example, Darth Vader, Darth Maul, those cats will always come back. Those are mm-hmm. those are true villains, and they will always be there in comics. Always a great book to invest in.
Mm-hmm. But, and have solid fan bases right. that are just diehard for those guys. Yeah.
Yes, but if you go, for example, and you try, what was it, the first appearance, we were talking about this just yesterday, in Legion, first appearance of Legion, and the first appearance of the Shadow King
right.
in Marvel Comics, in the X-Men comics, those were like $50 to $100 books at one point because of the Legion TV series and the hype behind that.
Mm-hmm.
But once the Shadow King was kind of done and they canceled the series of Legion, that book now is another $10 book again. It's something you can just get. And those poor souls that paid $102, you know, $200 for that book, expecting to, you know, make money or just wanting to complete a run, they're now out all that money, and they either have to play the waiting game or they have to accept the fact that they're never going to make that money back.
Right. And which, you know, and we will nail into a coffin, like put every nail into the coffin of this. And we say it repeatedly, even to each other. Buy what you love. Collect what you love. So if you love obscure D-list Marvel characters, and you know those first appearances are going to be like $5, and yeah, maybe one day you'll hit a jackpot and some random character that you just loved goes up, and that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Are you going to flip that book? Maybe, maybe not, because you love the character. You might want to hold on to the book. So it's a different, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there who aren't really even comic fans. They're comic sellers, you know, like you can tell a person who owns a comic shop, if they're a comic, most people who own comic shops are comic fans.
Yes.
A lot of the people on Instagram who are selling and flipping books, I'd say it's a 50-50 split. Like, yeah, they're into comics, but they're mainly into just flipping and selling books.
Yeah, they're into the cash that the comic books will bring them, and they've grown accustomed to these characters because they've had to deal with people about these characters, and they had to understand, and to their credit, do their research.
Right.
So with that, I praise them, but I feel like we're getting away from the heart of what this industry is about.
Right.
It's to me, and Kevin, when you ask him, he'll always tell you, he'll be like, it's about our future generation. You know, when we die, we're not going to be taking these comic books with us. Well, no. Some of us maybe, but we're not going to be taking these comic books with us. We need to instill the importance of the stories and the history of these books and these characters to our youth, you know, our future, and let them know how important this collectability is and how important this industry is.
Right.
Comic books, I don't think will ever go away. But they're definitely going to change. We've seen a lot of change in our lifetime, and it's going to keep changing and evolving. But what won't change is the collectability of the original first appearances of these characters and,
right.
and you know, the importance of them. You know, Wolverine, the Hulk 181, Wolverine's first appearance. Right. I bought that book. I paid an exorbitant amount at the time, what I thought was. And
right.
even Kevin at the time made fun of me for it. He was like, I can't believe you overpaid like that. I paid $650, I think, for a 5.0 graded Hulk, Incredible Hulk 181.
Right.
And that was a lot of cash. And
yeah.
right now, a 5.0 graded Incredible Hulk 181 goes for about $2,300 to $3,100, depending mm-hmm. on who you buy from. And now I feel great about it. I'm like, hey, you know, I didn't do too bad. But again, that's a character that has playability. He's got legs, you know.
Right.
You're hard pressed to find somebody that truly hates Wolverine. Most people really enjoy him or love him. And
right.
he's just a character that's in endearing to people, and he will continue to be important in the comic book industry and in films. And that's something I don't feel that will go down pretty much ever in price now that we've got, you know, all these movies coming out and the importance of the characters understood by a lot of people, even non-comic collectors want a first appearance of Wolverine.
Totally. And we've also talked about this too, which is like the heroes are always most likely going to be solid, you
mm-hmm.
know, like a first, Ghost Rider, a first, you know, Wolverine, like these characters are like, that's like their first, their heroes, their anti-heroes, whatever, first Punisher, like those books are just, they're only going to go up. Like, you know, they're only going to be, those are only good investments. So like I collect a lot of first appearances of villains because I love villains, but those mm-hmm. books are always, like a tidal wave of like, or like sea change. It's always like up and down, back and forth, because you know, especially if you're going by, you know, how a lot of books go up now, it's because there's a TV or movie connected. If you're going Marvel, they almost kill the villain 9 out of 10 times eventually, or they kill him in the first movie, you know? So like
mm-hmm.
you buy these characters and it's hot for like that minute. And then as soon as the movie comes out, they're like, oh wait, they're dead. They're probably not going to use this guy again. But you know, you got a Doctor Doom, you got even a Kang the Conqueror, like these are villains that have been around for a long time. They've stood the test of time. They're going to be around for a while because they're fan favorites and they don't want to see them die, you know, or be, you know, even the people in the movie industry know that like this character has, you know, we should keep them around.
Mm-hmm.
Even a character like Thanos, like, yeah, he might be dead, but we all know like that guy can come back any second he wants. If they want
right.
to, it's an easy rewrite.
That book did dip, but you know, not a ton, but it did dip, you know, there's
right.
it's back down from, you know, it's no longer a $1,000-$1,500 book. It's a $600-$900 book again. So it just,
which is another thing. So if you're buying these books, like, unless you have multiple copies, and you got to ask yourself, do I want to sell this for some quick cash, do I want to sell this for some money? I'm, you know, investing in something else. I know you and I do a lot of like, do I want to sell this book to pay for or pay off another book, a bigger book, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's all taste. It's all a matter of taste. I guess, you know, what really, you know, creases my pages, I love saying this now, is that when the fun is taken out of it and it's about like, hey, that's a cool character, it's about what can I get for it? What can I get for it? Or the complete nonsensical shit of like, Star Wars is popular. Every Star Wars book, like if you look at every big Marvel old comic property, like they had for a while, Transformers, any of these kind of non-superhero wars, you know, these books, and you know, Dark Horse too, it's not Jer- even like
Jared, you're coming in and out, wafting in and out real good, so
I'm sorry. It's not even like that they're, it's just when it's like across the board, like every Star Wars book is like $20 now, you know, yeah. When there's no relevance to it, when it's like, was there even a first appearance in that? They're like, no, but it's a Star Wars book or it's a G.I. Joe book.
And like, I'm going to tell you again, to Julio's credit from We Can Be Heroes, they're getting a lot of plugs from us today. He gave me a list of all the first appearances. And when I recently went to a comic shop, they had a big sale, a 40% off sale on all their back issues. And they had all these Star Wars books priced at $3, $4.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, well, let me see if they have any first appearances. So I took that list he gave me and I looked through. And sure enough, there was at least 20 books in there of first appearances.
Oh, shit. So I scored.
So I said, should I, you know, if there was more than one copy, I left another copy for somebody else because I'm not a pig.
Right.
You know, I respect the game enough that I don't feel like I need to do that.
Right.
And that, you know, maybe somebody else would like the joy of finding something, you know, in the wild like that for cheap. So, but yeah, I picked up all these issues because I thought, you know, yes, I can use this to sell stuff. Or I could also collect it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look through and I'm going to actually read the issues and see how these characters are. See what if there is an appeal to me. And if I like that character, I'm going to keep that issue.
Right.
And if that character doesn't matter to me, the story, I don't like it or something about it, then yes, I'm going to sell that book and I'm going to make money off of that book. And right. I will use that money then to buy something else that I love.
Right.
And that's how collectors do to feed their rabid fandom.
Right.
You know, they sell books to be able to buy books because usually they either realize, oh, crap, I've spent too much money, or their wife realizes, oh, crap, I've spent too much money, in which case you have to kind of rein it in and go, okay, well, what if I sell 10 of these books? Then I can buy that one book I want. And then, you know, so that's another interesting way to look at things. And it's also an interesting way to do it when you're collecting. So that's not something to overlook when you're collecting, is that you can do that kind of thing.
Well, but, don't be a dick. Exactly. Don't be a dick in anything. But yeah, but that I will completely attest to the latter as far as totally, I am the husband whose wife is like, yeah, that's cool you collect comics, but like, can we not have like a package a day coming? Because like, you know, you've got kids and I have needs. And I'm like, yeah. But now when I kind of go through my collection and I go, I see like if I have doubles of stuff or if I see if things that I'm not too attached to, I go, you know what? I'm going to put these up on a marketplace or I'm going to put these up on Instagram or I'm going to try and sell these so I can invest in, so now I can go like, hey, you know that book I just bought? Totally covered. Like, you, nothing from our account, nothing like that.
Yeah,
all just I flipped those books. You know,
that's a great feeling. But you have to, you know, as a collector, you have to look at again what you love and what you're willing to get rid of.
Yeah.
And those that walk in and don't collect at all, they're willing to get rid of everything. It's just a matter of timing. So, you know, you wonder how long these people sit on these books. Or if they're prospecting like we are, or if they're just, you know, trying to talk people down in price and then just flip it for, you know, 20% profit. You don't know. Everybody's a little different. So it's an interesting avenue, per se, when it comes to to collecting and sales with comic books.
I mean, I will say I give total props to people who do just flip for like either like a way big side hustle or like a living, because it's exhausting, because it's like you have to constantly be looking at books and looking at those claim sales and looking where you can get a good deal. Because the hard thing now is like a lot of people know what they have. So, you know, it's kind of like finding either like what you found, like, which is the kind of the best case scenario. If you go into a shop and they're like, this is what we're selling them for, and go grab what you want. And you're like, sweet. And you find, you know, these gems or possible gems or whatever. But it's exhausting to be like, those people are like, how can I make, you know, is it cents? You know, can I make $2 a profit off of it? You know, it's like, how much do you want to make from it? You know,
right.
Cause I've had books that I was like, you know, I might try and flip that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have to get my money back, and I can maybe get my money back on it.
Yeah. And then sometimes you actually lose money, but you just want to get rid of the book. And
totally.
You're like, I need some extra cash, so I'm going to get rid of this book. I don't really care about it that much. And yeah, I'm going to lose $20 on the sale, but that's fine. You know, I'll make it up somewhere else. And you usually can. But another thing that really kind of creases my pages is when you go in, for example, and this is back in the day when you could go to comic conventions and stuff. When you go to a convention and you walk up to a booth and they have something priced at, let's say, for example, I was at a convention in Los Angeles and they had the first appearance of Black Mask, which is, if I recall, it's a Batman book.
Yeah.
And they had, what did they have on it? They had $90 on the price, which at the time, they were expecting there was rumors that Black Mask was going to be in a movie. They hadn't even announced the Harley Quinn Birds of Prey movie.
Right.
And so there was just rumors. And so they were speculating and pricing it such. It was purely a $50 book at best around that time. So I asked them, you know, thinking, well, this is a really pretty book. It's in good shape. I said, well, can you go 75? No, I can't go down on that book. I won't go down on that book. And I was like, oh, he's like, yeah, there's a movie or something coming, I'm sure. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, and I looked right at him and I said, I'm not going to buy from you. Thank you. And then I just walked away. And I didn't feel bad about that. And I know that seems kind of like a dick move on my part. But if more people did that, if more people walked away from those high prices and people can't sell it, then the book's going to go down. People aren't going to hang on to it forever. They're going to need money. They're going to want to get rid of that book. So they're going to lower the price. Price reduction, you'll see online or in their booth or something. I always felt the whole reason to go to places in person is it's much easier to talk somebody down on a book. Mm-hmm. It's harder to say no in person than it is on Instagram, for instance.
That's true. For sure.
So if you're doing an Instagram sale and somebody's like, hey, will you take $50? No, that's all you got to do.
Yep.
You don't have to do anything else. And if they say something bad, you can just remove them. And that's that, you know, and then no one knows. It's over. But if you're at a booth and, you know, you say no and somebody creates a stink, then you start to look bad. So you have to be more careful when you have a booth. And you have to be careful as a seller or as a buyer that, again, that you're not being rude to everybody, but you're being firm.
Right.
So another thing that you and I talked about is go in with a price in mind. Look up the value of the book. Look up what people are paying and say, is this book important enough to me to pay that amount? If so, write it down. Write that book down. Write its amount down and know that that's what you're willing to pay. If it's an $80 book and you're like, I don't want to pay $80, I'll pay $75. Even if it's a $5 difference, write that down. Write that you'll pay up to $75 and that's it. And if they want $80, don't bend to their will. Walk away.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy, but if enough people start doing that, these prices won't be going insane.
Most sellers in reason will work with you, because I think everybody, any smart seller prices their book maybe $10, you know, higher, because they know that somebody's going to come in and be like, can I get it for this? And be like, I can go this, you know, that's another thing of, yeah, like setting your initial price. Or you get the insane people who are like $20,000 and you're like, I don't even know why that book would be $100. You know, like there's always the one guy on eBay who puts the book at like some insane price because they think they're going to win the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's get into the things that, okay, these are a couple of things that I saw years back people kind of try to exploit and then they just didn't take. And now they're taking. And I don't know why, especially when we're, I mean, maybe it's because people are like desperate for something new because they've been cooped up in their houses for so long. But two things. One is newsstand books and the other is previews books. And I'll explain real quick for those who don't know. On certain books from a certain time, you could buy when they would sell them at an actual newsstand, or there was a direct edition, which was means they ordered it from the company and it comes straight to them. And basically how you could tell is if, like for a Marvel book, if it had like a Spider-Man insignia, and usually sometimes it even say direct sale, that's a direct edition. And then the newsstand ones had a barcode. I used to see like it would be like on eBay, somebody, and this is years back, would be like, I have Spider-Man 129. I don't even know if they had this one. Spider-Man 252 newsstand. But they would have no difference in price. They just would say it. And I looked it up and I was like, what the hell is the difference? And it told me, and it said, this does not really affect the price. There should be no price effect because it's just one is one and one's the other. Last 6 to 8, maybe year and a half, all of a sudden people are like, because newsstands don't really exist anymore. Everybody wants a newsstand edition. If you have a newsstand, sometimes it could be the difference between $20 to $100 difference for some people, whether they want that or not, because they think it's more rare. So let's first go on that. What are your thoughts on the whole newsstand direct market, you know, difference, if you see a difference?
It doesn't matter to me at all. I mean, look, if I want the first appearance of Venom, and the direct edition, I'm just making an example. They might not have this.
No, they do. A good example. That is.
If I wanted the first appearance of Venom's Amazing Spider-Man 300, I don't care if it's a direct edition or a newsstand. Yes, I get that a newsstand set on the shelves. So that means there's more likelihood of that to get damaged. So there's less out there of that book in a great shape, which makes it more rare. But a more rare newsstand, for some reason, it doesn't mean anything to me because it's the direct edition is still their first appearance. And I don't like the fact that you get that barcode on the cover. I think that the barcode on the cover, if you take, for example, the first appearance of Spider-Man 2099.
Right.
And I think that's Amazing Spider-Man, like 365, if I recall.
Something like that, yeah. It's one of those hologram ones. Yeah.
Right. If you look at that cover with the newsstand and then you look at it with the direct edition, it looks better with the direct edition. The newsstand, the lines on the newsstand, the scanning lines, the barcode, kind of distract from the cover. Totally. Whereas the direct edition looks much better. It looks smoother. It looks more stylistic. So I prefer that. That's just me. That's my personal preference. Why this happened and how, I don't know. Only thing I can think of is somebody ran across a bunch of newsstands and they said, hey, you know, to their buddies that also sell books, hey, I got a bunch of comics. They're newsstands. What say we go on and we say that newsstands are more valuable?
Right.
And they all get together and they're like, yes, let's do that. Right. So you get this cabal of sellers stating how important these newsstand covers are. Next thing you know, the newsstands are going for 10 to 20% more.
Yeah. And yes, we are talking comic book conspiracies, but for sure. But for real, like, I definitely think that, and then the previews I'm going to talk about next, is a straight up manipulation of the market from sellers. And I'm not blaming like certain, I'm just saying from a good amount of sellers, put that out there and put their foot down on it. And we're like, I'm backing this 100%. Because this is not a new thing. It's been, or people know about newsstand and know about direct editions. So I think it's totally manipulated. And that creases my papers. My pages. But here's the one thing here's another one that I think actually gets me even more creased, is the previews books. So these were completely ignored until this fucking, I mean, they were talked about, but until this, what is it? Miles Morales one. So previews books are, basically, there was like, there's like Marvel previews had a book where it was like literally just previews of like, you know, it had maybe a couple of interviews with a writer or creator and be like, hey, this new book is coming out. Or an image, Invincible. We talked about Invincible. There was two different books that had Invincible previews in them. And people were really trying to sell those as like the first appearance of these characters. And mm-hmm. if you look at for Invincible, for sure. And even Robert Kirkman is like, those are not the first appearance. Those are called previews. Never has a preview been considered a first appearance because it's called a preview. So right. yes, it's technically the first time you're seeing that character, but it's not the character in their book. It's just the fucking preview. You right. know, when you go to the movies and you see a preview, you don't go, gee, I just saw the whole movie. I saw the fucking preview, you know? So right. fucking, so they tried to do it with a couple of different people. I think they tried to do it with, oh God, it was another big character. Another Marvel character.
Was it Miss Marvel, maybe, or something along those lines?
No, not Miss Marvel. Was it Gambit? I know they did that with... Well, no, Gambit was like a cameo or something like that.
Yeah.
There's another Marvel character where they tried to really push that, like, well, this is actually their first appearance, and people were like, no. And even the Invincible books, like, had a big, like, push for a little bit, kind of got some money, like, you know, some people made some money off those books, but now they're back down to, like, mid-level priced books, and Invincible number one is the big money book. But like then this Miles Morales one, for some reason, I think it's because he's on the cover of it. So we already know the whole ultimate fallout for the first Miles Morales went gangbusters when they announced the video game. And, you know, I think also people realized how popular that Into the Spider-Verse movie actually was, and that they're making another one, and that, you know, that's a whole franchise. So that book went gangbusters, still is up there and really high. But then it's like people just like want it to keep the momentum going, and they're like, well, what about this previews book? And people are like, yeah, there's a previews book. And then somebody went, but what about this previews book? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And then some fucking, you know, Ken Ucklehead just was like, I'm gonna fucking pay $900 for it. And now everybody's like, $900. This book is worth $900. So once again, yeah. That a manipulation? Because I'll tell you straight up, you can manipulate an eBay sale super fucking easy. You can manipulate that sale because people, a lot of people like the Key Collector and stuff like that, that he does a lot of his research on, like, look at the sales he does, like, you, because you can get the, like, what is it, the analytics on what books are selling and what, you know, are there increases in this, and he uses those a lot. Like, he'll be like, this random book that's still $3 is selling a lot more, so I'm putting it on my prospect list. And so I could technically go on eBay and put a book out there and then have my friend pay me, and we just kind of keep, you know, it's just fake money being spent pretty much, and I'm not actually selling it to him and he's not actually buying it, but it sells for $900. I mean, I don't know how much they could actually really trace you to do that, but you can completely manipulate the market by doing that.
Yeah.
And I do wonder on some of these insane sales if people are doing that. And then after that, they go ahead and actually sell it to somebody who's going to pay that.
I'll tell you what, I have a few friends that they know the industry very well. They're in, you know, we know it well, but I mean, they know it like more than us. Yeah. They're in it deep. They know some of the godfathers, the creators of some things, and the ones that push and move things along. They tell me that, I mean, there's some deep conspiracies that they tell me, like, that there is a push to move certain books and stuff. And one of those things is that quietly and very slowly, you're going to start to see all the 80s books disappear, like, as far as like all the cheap 80s books. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the next wave. We're already starting to see it with Transformers and G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. And we've had seen that to a little bit of a point with the movies and stuff, and I get that, but it's become even more so now. And now we're starting to look at properties. there are ALF books out there that you can't touch for less than $100.
This is true.
And that's for a different reason, mind you, though. It's a whole sexualization of a seal that we can get into at another time. Yeah. But there's some deep conspiracies now as far as, like, these people got together and they decided that they had all these 80s books and now they're going to make that the next big wave. And there's a conspiracy of they have a puppet that works for them that gets online and pushes these books hard and starts to make them money. And the more money they make, they can pay that person to push them more. And it's a very fascinating story. And again, it's a story. It's not truth. And it will remain untruthful for as long as it's not brought to light. It'll just be another X-File as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. But it's fascinating to hear, and it does make you stop and take a pause and go, is that really what's happening? Is my beloved comic book industry, has it become this? Is it, you know, solely for monetary gain and not for collectability and fun any longer?
Mm-hmm.
And then you run into somebody, inevitably at a shop, and they look at you and they say, hey, I'm getting back into comic selling or buying, and I want to collect some X-Men books or something. And I actually had a guy on Instagram very recently. And this really creased my pages. He wanted to get the first appearance of Omega Red.
Okay.
And the first appearance of Omega Red is a Jim Lee 90s X-Men book.
Right.
It had millions of copies printed off.
Mass amounts. Yeah.
It's a very, very well-known book for being just in the dollar bins alone because there's so many of them. I was watching as people were commenting, and this guy said, hey, I'm looking to get this first book, this first appearance. Does anybody have one? And I saw somebody say, yeah, you can find one here for $50. And I about dropped everything in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, $50? Are you kidding me? So I got on there and I responded and I said, dude, I said, hold out. I'm sure you can find it in the wild for a couple bucks. And then I got blasted by other people that were telling me that that's not the case and that's impossible and not where they're from or not where they go and blah, blah, blah.
Because that is a completely perfect example of a completely manipulated book. Because yes, there's thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of copies of that book.
Yeah. And so I told the guy that was asking about the book originally, I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to put my books where my mouth is. And I said, I've got three or four of these books somewhere at my place. And I said, when I find it, I said, I'll tell you what, it's yours for $10. And I was like, I'm not, you know, I won't charge you anymore. $10. Because that's what I told him. I said, at most, I said, pay $10. I said, don't pay any more than that. And I said, you're good. So I told him, I said, I'll give it to you for $10. And he's like, oh my God, that's amazing. You know, and he reached out to me and thanked me. And he told me a little bit about his story that he had just gotten back into collecting. He wanted to get some key books, but he really loved Omega Red. That was like one of his favorite characters when he was a kid, like X-Men characters. And he wanted to get that first appearance. And he said, I'm so glad that you're able to help me out with this and I can get it for cheap because now I can save some of that money and use it for another book. And I told him exactly what I'm telling everybody in the audience right now that's listening. I understand and I love books. I love comics and I just want to help. Like I'm here. If I have extra books, and Jarrett, you know this personally. If I have extra books, I will sell it to you for a very good price because I don't especially if I know the person or if I can make a personal connection with them, I'll let them, you know, take the book for a nice deal for a very good price. I don't want to take advantage of people that way. So for me, it's the fun of knowing I already have a copy, letting somebody else have that copy for cheap and enjoying that book. If he resells it down the line, I don't even want to hear about it. You know, I don't want to know.
Totally. Right.
But the story is there. The truth is there that I can see. And it's just a very fun thing to be able to share with somebody.
Completely. Oh, I mean, I recently made a big purchase on a book. I got that, the first Goon, Eric Powell's The Goon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to sell some books that are keys that I don't, I sold a first Deadpool, which some people would be like, are you fucking nuts? Like, why would you sell? I like Deadpool just fine. I like the movies just fine. I'm not in love with that character. So if I can get what the book is worth, and I had a raw copy that was probably a 9.0 or something like that, if I could get what it's worth, and then it pays off a book that I actually care about, like the Goon one, whether one is going to go up or not, I don't care. I wanted that Goon book because that character means something more to me. Deadpool means literally nothing to me aside from like 90s and like, hey, I remember that. And it was from my private collection. I bought that book off the shelf. Like I remember getting it because I was like, oh, this character looks cool. And then he became huge and I just had the book. But I sold that book to a guy who really wanted it. Mm-hmm. And I even let him pay me off. And even while I was going to sell it to him, they made the announcement that Disney was going to be doing Deadpool 3. And I texted him back as a joke. I'm like, hey, you saw the announcement, right? I'm like, it's like 500 more now. And he's like, and you could see for a second, he's like, oh, because he was like, I would get it. And I was like, no, man, it's fucking your book. Like, we have a deal. It's your book. You want it. I don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah.
I sold a first Gambit the other day, which I know for a fact that book I could get, you know, more later when that character is eventually used in Disney, you know, X-Men movie. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I wanted to sell it to get money for a book that I cared about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I happen to like Gambit. So for me, like from the X-Men animated series, I really liked him. So for me, it was like, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to hang on to that book.
Right.
But there's a whole ton of other books I could care less about. I got rid of first appearance of Kamala Khan. Right. And I knew that's your girl. And I know that, but I also know you already had one. And for me, it was like, I don't care about this character. Like it really doesn't matter to me. So I'm going to get rid of this book and use that money to get something else nicer. And I think I got a first Black Knight for cheap with that money and felt pretty good about it. You know,
right, and that's a perfect example of sell what you can sell to buy what you love. You know, you love that character.
I love the Black Knight. You guys got me the helmet. Yeah. So I'm a huge fan. So for me, that was a win-win. And right now, as we're talking, I'm looking up on Instagram and somebody had just posted about Strifey's Strike File. An executioner's song addendum. I don't know if you've seen this book, Jarrett, but it is basically you open it and it's just a list, a look into the mind of Strifey and all.
Yeah. He writes like little computer.
Right. Like it's a dossier thing. Yeah. It shows all these villains and heroes and stuff. And right now somebody's saying featuring the first appearance of Holocaust and the first appearance of Threnody. Yeah, it said it actually has a couple more first appearances as well. Is that a first appearance or is it like a cameo appearance? Because they're not in the book, you know,
it's more like a preview. And somebody I'm on Facebook comic, low grade comic book site, and we did a pay it forward thing where we all just sent a person. We did like a little randomizer thing and we got a person. My person was fucking overseas, so I spent like $100 paying it forward to just ship this guy his stuff. And I gave him some great books, too. And somebody sent me a bunch of books. And, you know, I'll be honest, it was a bunch of crap. But I paid that forward. I gave it to a bunch of kids that, like, really, you know, would love it. And they did. But their two books I kept was, like, a Pit number one, like the Image Pit that was in there. And Strike File, because I saw people saying, this is the first Holocaust. And I was like, okay, cool. I just got this book for free. If I sell it for like 20, you know, eventually, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe you'll get $100 out of it and that'll cover that shipping cost for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the hope. But I think what we're saying here, and then, you know, as we're going to be winding down here, but I think what we're saying is that, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it. You just buy what you love. That's the number one. Buy what you love. Don't overpay for books. Make sure you have a list of what you want and how much you want to pay for these books, and don't stray from that.
Yeah, and also even to the sellers, I want you to make a profit, but don't oversell to where you're fucking somebody over. Because I will tell you, there are dumb people out there. There are naive people out there. There are people that will be manipulated very easy, and they will pay some of those exorbitant prices if they're hyped well enough, and if you can hype them well enough.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't overpay. Buy what you love. When it comes to villains, again, buy what you love, but know that 9 times out of 10, a villain's value will go down as a first appearance once that character's used and finished and killed off in the comic book world, in the cinematic universe, so to speak. In the comic book world, that character might be around forever. It might come back and die and come back and die. Look at Apocalypse, for God's sakes. Yes. That's another good one. That book was a $200 book easy before the movie, the X-Men movie, X-Men Apocalypse. But then the movie came out, and now it's a $20 to $50 book at best. And, you know, some people have a hard time selling it because it's just not a lot of people care anymore because of that. But Kevin, for instance, that's his favorite villain. So right. Favorite Marvel villain. So he would scoop that up. You know, he'd be like, oh, boy, first Apocalypse. So, you know, if you love it and you just don't overpay for it, because especially if it's a villain, that value will probably go down unless we're dealing with like a Doctor Doom or a Magneto. Those cats will stay up there in value. I mean, and same thing with Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery, Batman's villains, you know, Arkham villains. All those characters are so ingrained in the hero, and you can't tell the hero's story without mentioning these villains. That makes right. those villains important. You can't mention Fantastic Four without Dr. Doom.
Yeah, he's key. Yeah.
So that's going to be a character that will continue to increase in value, and that's a good book. You know, and don't be fooled is another thing that we want to say. Like with the previews, get the fuck out of here with that. You know,
that's a complete money grab, and somebody's right. trying to exploit you. Yeah.
I'm not going to overpay or pay anything for a preview book that was for free at a comic shop that wasn't even the real first appearance of the book. It was just a preview of the book that's coming out. Not doing that. Direct edition versus newsstand, that's up to you. You know, you make your choice. You've heard our argument against newsstand in for direct edition, not even against newsstand, technically. We're just indifferent. So it doesn't matter to us. We're not going to pay more for something. That's for sure. And neither should you.
Yeah.
Don't fall into the hype train. You know, if something, you know, if they say ROM, you know, a ROM movie's coming out and you're like, oh God, I got to get that first appearance now. Why? Did you like ROM? You know, have you been collecting the series from Marvel and you had one issue left and you're panicking? What's the story here? You know, if you don't like ROM, are you getting that book so you can save and then like sell later to invest? Are you using it for like as a stock market investment purpose? What's going on here? So just think about that.
Exactly.
Doing stuff like that. Anything you have to add, Jarrett?
No, just it's about fun. Have fun. Enjoy it. Enjoy the, if it makes you unhappy or it stresses you out or it makes you like, you know, really frustrated because you didn't get the book at the right time. That's not fun, you know? And for me, like, I have to check myself, you know, I have to go like, wait, this is not fun. So you know what? Get out of the speculating thing for a little bit and just buy books that you like. And that's what I've been doing. I just buy books I like, or I buy what I like, what I want to read, or a first appearance that I'm really interested in, whether it's going to go up or not, because that's what I want. If I'm out in the wild and I see a book that, hey, that's a good deal, I could flip that for $20. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Again. Yeah. Just do it for the passion of collecting and enjoy yourself, I think is what we're saying. So with that, I think we're going to wrap this up. So thank you everybody for listening in. We do about once a week, sometimes every other week during the holidays and stuff. We do live podcasts on YouTube. You can follow us on there. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Please do that. We're trying to up our subscribers. We do a lot of live videos. We do a lot of audio podcasts. Sometimes we do little shorts and fun things like that. You can also follow us on a bunch of other podcasting platforms. Jarrett, I think we're on what? Let's see.
We're on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, iTunes. I mean, anywhere you can get a pod. You want to listen to pod, you go look at the Real Short Bucks.
Yeah. You can find us. And if you don't find us, reach out to us and let us know, and we can get on there for you. So you can listen to us on there, because we're willing to come to you. We'll come to your house. You know, we'll come to your house if you want us to.
We'll wear masks. We'll social distance, you know.
Right. Out in your yard, and we'll talk to you about comic books. We don't care. We'll do it. We're crazy. Yeah. But, you know, thank you for listening. Again, my name is Donald.
My name is Jared. And, you know, when you're out and about and, you know, maybe you get your vaccine and you get your second one and then, hey, we take our masks off and we can maybe see each other in that beautiful, effervescent comic book shop.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good day.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.